All right, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis the second, along with Haggai Davis the third. Welcome you into our show where we talk about all things past, present, and future that has to do with technology. But we want to do so in a way that's interesting without a whole lot of geek speak and acronyms. We just want to talk about tech that's important to you. But before we begin, we do need to thank Cardinal Capital. If you're a business owner or a CEO, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. But if you're facing challenging situations and need to consolidate debt, you're in growth mode, you want to buy new equipment or level out your cash, whatever you need, give Cardinal Capital a call because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for your business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to the lending institutions that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they're good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the solutions for your situation, and here's the good part. They're easy and fun to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. Send them an email, info@cardinalcap.net. So, Mr. Davis, let's stir up some tech gumbo.
Absolutely. It's a great day.
Let's begin with one of our favorite topics we talk a lot about here because it's almost like it's required we have to do so, Starlink.
Yeah, there's news recently that they have reached basically 70,000 active customers. They think that they're going to hit the goal of 500,000 within a year. And they are working to get the cost of the dish down. Currently, the cost is about $500, but they think that they can hit a target of about 250. So cutting the price in half.
And that's big news. The fact that they've got 70,000 people using their services right now. Elon Musk has said by the month of August, you will be able to use Starlink anywhere in the world except the North and South Poles.
That's a pretty broad service region.
They are still, however, in beta. They want to make sure and emphasize that you know they're still in beta because they're in beta, when they go down for a while, and it'll come back up eventually, but it's not a continuous, perfect, you know, system the way, you know, if you have Verizon, AT&T, Cox, whoever your cable internet provider is, that steady, well-aged system, they're not there yet.
Right. They're having just, you know, the usual things as you have a system as expansive and as adventurous as this, as broad as this, you're going to have some problems early in the startup. And so they're trying to make sure they set expectations properly for themselves and for their users that, you know, this is going to have some downtime. It's going to be a little unreliable, but they think that within, you know, a couple months to a year or two, they'll be able to really start hitting those 99.99% thresholds.
So they're now up over 1,500 satellites circling around. They want to get over the 2,500 satellite mark. Once they get to that, and the newest satellites that are going up are the ones that laser link all the different satellites together, and that's when they think that you'll have coverage around the world, and that's when they hope to emerge from the beta.
Pretty cool. Unfortunately, though, they're experiencing issues that aren't related to beta access. The dishes have a pretty low thermal limit. Once you hit 122 degrees Fahrenheit, the disk goes into shutdown until you drop back down to 104. And if you have been paying attention recently, it's been pretty hot in a lot of places in America. And a lot of people are hitting that 122 number, even if it's not 122 outside.
So you live in Mesa, Arizona, out near the desert. And, oh, by the way, 120 degrees is a regular temperature. That's just Tuesday. Well, this may not be the best fit for you if you're out there in the middle of the desert and you want to get internet.
which is a pretty big problem because that's one of the places wherever it would be great for Starlink to be active. Or whenever you start to consider on a global perspective, the Sahara. The Sahara is a huge desert that would be incredibly served by having the ability to have an internet signal or have a cell signal. But the Sahara is also really hot. And so those types of things, you know, these are the limits they're pushing up against right now.
And so, yes, you can go out there with a garden hose and just hose down your dish and that will drop the temperature. The problem is there's not a lot of water out there in the desert just to hose down your dish and cool it off for you.
And if this starts to become a more regular occurrence, which it looks like it is, do you want to be out there, you know, 3 days a week for 3 months a year, hosing your dish down in order to keep it working? That doesn't feel like a sustainable solution here. And so, you know, you're going to have some problems.
So that's our Starlink update for now. Moving on to some more fun things to talk about. The FAA has given Virgin Galactic the clearance to go ahead and fly customers to space.
Right. Not just anybody. Paying customers are now able to be brought to the edge of space. And this is the first time the FAA has licensed a space line to fly clients, and they are kicking off this space tourism industry.
This rocket's going to take off and going to reach Mach 3 and reach an altitude of 55 miles. That's pretty far up there.
Oh, yeah. If you think about the highest jump that's ever been done, it was about 100,000 feet, which is less than 20 miles. This is going to be over 50 miles. So 2.5 times higher than the highest jump that's ever been performed. You know, you'd be falling for a long time before you got back to Earth.
Yeah, that's pretty far up there. So we mentioned last week that, you know, Windows 11 is coming out sometime in the fall. Microsoft says holiday season. Well, don't know which holiday it is, but one of the things that they're really talking a lot about is Trusted Platform Module, or TPM, as a security feature inside Windows 11.
So it's important to define what a Trusted Platform Module is, or what a TPM is. And basically, it's a tiny little chip that sits inside of your computer and acts as another physical security device. We know you can set a lot of programs that they have to go through this extra little gateway in order to keep verifying the fact that they are who they say they are, they're doing what they say they're doing. And if for whatever reason the TPM says something went wrong here, I don't like this, someone's doing something fishy, it'll freeze everything and prevent hackers from being able to get inside of your computer further.
So the good news is if you've got a computer that was manufactured after 2016, you have already the TPM 2.0 chip in it. If your computer is older than that, you need a new computer. Or it'll have TPM 1 version 1.2 on it, and it's time for a new computer. If your computer does have the older version, there are software capabilities to run the TPM, but it's still, you're not going to want to run Windows 11 on a computer made prior to 2016. It's just the realities of it.
Yeah, the rate computers are advancing. You know, do yourself a favor, save yourself the headache, especially because Windows 11 isn't coming out anytime soon for general consumption.
Well, Windows 11 is going to go live at the end of this year, but by the time we get full buy-in from the public, it'll be more than a year from now.
Right.
When you get past 25% of the people who have upgraded their computers to Windows 11, we're barely over 65% right now, people who have upgraded to Windows 10.
Right. And so, you know, you have that beta phase, which Windows 11 will go through, and you'll have the initial phases, but the full, you know, we're doing Windows 11 only, that's still a little while out.
Yeah, that's when you get what used to be called Past Service Pack 2. For those of you who remember your Windows 7 days, that Service Pack was they're releasing their updates to fix all the bugs in the from the initial releases.
But circling back to the what is the TPM, why is this important? There's a lot of speculation that Windows 11 will start to make this trusted platform module a more central part of the operating system. That if you don't have a TPM inside of your machine, Windows might start to limit some of your features for security reasons.
Because Microsoft and TPM are really trying to get away from passwords, go more to the biometrics, go more to more secure things, the multi-factor authentication. That's where this TPM chip is really going to kick in. So do yourself a favor. If you have an older computer, get a new one and take advantage of the security that the TPM is going to provide.
Absolutely, because you don't even need Windows 11 to get those benefits. They're already going to be floating around a little bit, but as we move forward into the future, those benefits become more and more solidified.
So the next story we want to talk about comes out of the state of Texas, where Facebook is being held liable for sex trafficking predators.
So this is one of our continuing conversations about social media, Section 230, and the interesting intersection of politics and all these sort of things. And so what happened was is that a group of sex trafficking victims from the greater Houston area got together and sued Facebook. Normally, Facebook would not be able to be held liable for the actions of users on its platform. That is the protection that Section 230 provides. However, what this is unique and what is different about this case is that the justices are saying that Facebook knowingly or intentionally participated in the evil of online human trafficking. And that's the big difference here, is that whenever Facebook is some neutral party that just creates the platform and users do things on the platform and Facebook's not involved, that's wherever Facebook can say Section 230, you know, you can't come after us. But this case is specifically saying that Facebook made decisions which knowingly allowed the human trafficking to be easier, or Facebook knowingly profited off of human trafficking. And so that's why you can go after them for those decisions, not going after the users who are doing those actions. That's what makes this case interesting here. And this will almost certainly keep going up the ladder, you know, keep getting appealed, very possibly could end up in the Supreme Court and have huge implications about what we're able to hold social media companies accountable for.
So neither one of us are attorneys, so we're not trying to, you know, give you some kind of legal interpretation here. What we're doing is reporting the news. And the fact that this is a Texas state Supreme Court ruling, well, it's obviously going to make its way over to the federal courts, because there'll be another, you know, court in another state will have ruling somewhere. And that's where things end up in the federal court system, get to the federal appellate courts, and then finally make its all the way to the Supreme Court. It might be that the Supreme Court is the one who ultimately has to decide what's going on, what's going to happen with 230. You would hope that Congress would not wait that long and Congress would do something.
Well, the interesting part about this is that these justices from Texas are arguing that this specific lawsuit doesn't engage 230. Their argument is that you don't have to worry about that, and you exist off to the side as a different channel, that this is breaks a different law or interacts with the law in a different way. Now, Facebook might say that it doesn't, that it's not something separate, and that 230 does shield them. But I agree. I would hope strongly for some sort of more direct guidance out of Congress. I'm not expecting that, but it would be nice.
You've got to hope that enough elected officials in the House of Representatives and Senate are going to sit there and see this dumpster fire that's rolling downhill, heading towards a crowded building. If they got to do something to help stop this disaster that's just barreling at them.
Well, as we've talked about in the past, the good news is that a lot of people in Congress do want it changed. The bad news is they want diametrically opposing changes.
Right.
And so the political system, you have the gridlock, and so it's unlikely to magically break for this one issue. Maybe it does. You know, we did talk last week about there are some types of antitrust big tech legislation coming out that may or may not be able to do specific things here or there, but because of the visible nature of Section 230, because of how closely it ties to free speech and is become such a politicized issue, it's difficult to see a way in which this doesn't just continue to be a quagmire of tech.
Yeah, I'm not holding out a whole lot of hope. I'm certainly not holding my breath waiting for Congress to move. I really think that this is going to get to the Supreme Court. I think 230, with or without this case pushing it, I think you're going to wind up with Section 230 being decided at the Supreme Court.
I agree. And I think that is going to be interesting to see what happens. And we will continue to talk about it here in Tech Gumbo.
Yeah,
and another thing we talk about here in Tech Gumbo is ransomware and how it continues to evolve. The bad guys continue to get smarter, continue to figure out new and dastardly ways to make your life horrible. And this one is no slouch.
So there's a group that call themselves Ragnar Locker. They have figured out when they get into your computer, you click on a link and their software opens on your computer. The first thing it does is it creates a virtual machine on your computer. Now, for those of you who don't know what a virtual machine is, your Windows 10 has the capability of creating a secondary computer that you can run side by side all on your existing hardware. The problem is when that secondary computer or that virtual machine is created, not all of the security features go over with it.
Yeah, you are starting up a whole new, not 100% blank version of your computer as kind of next to your computer, but is a very plain version, oftentimes missing a lot of those security features, a lot of that protection. And the hackers are now using this as a way to, jump in, create the virtual machine, and then you still have access to the hard drive. And so they say, well, now we don't have to worry about getting around, your cybersecurity features. We just have direct access into your hard drive. We can lock them up. We can put it all behind the ransom, put it, encrypt it all, and you're toast.
And then after they've encrypted the files on your computer, that's when they delete that virtual machine so that all traces of how you can't go back and find how they did it is gone because they've deleted that virtual machine. It's just as easy to create it as it is, and then you can delete a virtual machine. Well, now they've got themselves wrapped around everything inside of your computer and you're ransomed because of the encryption. There's no way to go do the forensic to find out who did it. And yeah, Boy, they've got you.
And that really is scary because, you have to then set up a whole new level of protections ahead of time to set the virtual machine restrictions on how they can't be created, because this is just another one of those ways wherever it's the ongoing war between the offense and the defense and people who are trying to sit there and make cybersecurity better, but for every time you fix one problem, another hole opens up somewhere else that you didn't even know existed before.
Because creating that virtual machine, once it gets created, it doesn't care about multi-factor authentication. It's yep. Just got free, unfettered access. There's no antivirus, no malware protection, no authentication required. It's just running, and it's attacking the files that are stored on that hard drive.
And that is pretty scary. So you know, make sure you follow all of our tips that we normally talk about in order to prevent getting ransomware. Because once it is in, it is tough to get out.
Absolutely.
So we want to thank General Informatics. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make their clients even more successful through the best uses of technology. From the beginning, they maintain their commitment to meeting the growing needs of their clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 60-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, General Informatics has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Their managed services team can run your digital infrastructure or support your team in an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of their clients continue to do business with them year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been strategic support of their clients' growth. Today, GI has a record number of clients as the fastest growing companies in the Inc. 500 5000 list. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit them on the web at geninf, that is geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we're here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and it reruns Sunday at 4. If you missed any part of the show, would like to hear this or any of our previous episodes, check out our podcast. It's available on most every platform, including TuneIn, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Player FM, and Podchaser. And when you're there, be sure you subscribe so you'll be notified every time a new episode is posted. And if you like our show, if you have some suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're at TechGumbo Show. Or you can text the show 225-255-0431. So please follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.